All right, so today we'll talk about developing a deeper understanding of the concept of reality. And the reason for bringing this topic up is if you look through my previous podcast and the same thing about Know Thyself, I've been talking all along about how do you kind of integrate your spiritual knowledge with your day-to-day life, and it's pretty important to have a deeper understanding about things. When I say deeper understanding, I'd like to kind of highlight the point here that I want to make that. See, we have two kinds of understanding, and by and large, in most of our day-to-day education, we are used to the word understanding in the form of, you know, a takeaway, in the form of an answer or a direction or something in particular to do. And I'm going to take this session a little different route, and I'd like you to understand things the way the mystics understand things. That means I'm not going to particularly give you an answer, or I'm not going to give you any particular direction. I'm just going to give you some thoughts to chew over and contemplations, and you could chew this over your mind. And the best way to make use of it is don't allow your logical mind to answer. If we were to make a comparison between learning systems of today versus the ancient learning systems in all traditions, one of the major things, and I'm majorly approaching it from the point of view of the yogic sciences and stuff like that, because that's my origin being Indian. We have a different system of learning where I would say knowledge is actually not just what you acquire by reading a book or, you know, emulating somebody, but knowledge is what you learn intuitively as an experience within you. And it's about expanding your knowledge. So when you operate fundamentally from the space of the mind, you're basically going to go in circles about what you already know. You might just package things a little differently. But, you know, you're not really coming out into a new space. And to bring to these contemplations are primarily going to take you to a space where if you keep holding them in your mind and chewing them on as an inquiry, it would expand you and bring you to some new learning insights about who you possibly are and how you could improve in terms of how you fit into the society and how you could kind of contribute better and make all the, and this is true for each of us. You know, the goal is expansion of consciousness. It's not just to make a buck, you know. So we'll jump right into it straight away. And what we're going to talk about right now is getting into a deeper understanding of reality. So we see this word real floating everywhere in our day-to-day lives, and we're really not sure what does it mean, you know. You know, when you say real, I mean, it could mean so many things to people. So I'm going to go in direct into a contemplation, which, like I said, I'm not going to define what's real for you, but I'm just going to place some things in question for yourself. And then I'm just going to give you a little bit of direction as to how you might possibly benefit from this, whether you're looking more to achieve a materialistic goal or whether you're looking to look towards deepening a spiritual practice. Either way, I'm just going to give you a few pointers on that. So here we go. Now, in terms of the context of bringing yourself to understanding reality at a deeper plane, I'm just going to take an example. This is very famous in the Upanishads, which is basically a very short collection of writings which make you dwell deeper into things. And the topic that I'm going to talk about is, Is this a dream or is this real? So that's the question I'm going to put up there, and I'm going to give a scenario to you right now. So I'm going to talk about a scenario where, let's say, you had a dream, right? And you dreamt of a snake, and that really scared you badly, and you woke up in the morning or whichever time of the day. And when you wake up, you actually find your heart rate's up and you're actually sweating. But the moment you woke up, you also realize that there was no real snake. There was just a dream. And it's not there, right? It's just a common experience. So you could actually relate to this in some form of experience that scared you. It doesn't really matter whether you think about a snake. But what I'm trying to relate to you is that go back to a time when you had a dream, something that scared you, right? And just relate to the fact that when you woke up, you actually realized it was not true. And at the same time, you also noticed that, you know, whatever you dreamt of was not there. But you did notice that your physical body was sweating and it got scared and had the signs of, you know, the heart rate going up and those kinds of things. Now, purely to get you into track of objective analysis is that to drive a point to you that a dream experience is an illusion. So just for convenience sake, let us say it is made of some sort of particles called dreamtrons. I mean, I'm just making up this word. Nothing exists of that nature. But the point is, whatever you experience in the dream, so the snake that I said was made up of something called dreamtrons, and it was a snake made of dreamtrons that didn't really exist, right? But having said that, when you woke up, you realized that this physical body of yours was actually sweating and was a little disturbed from its normal peaceful self, right? So this dreamtrons seems to be having some connection to this physical body, right? And this physical body, when you noticed that you were aware of the fact you're sweating and all that stuff. So I'm just drawing here to you an inference here, which is that the dreamtron snake, which is not real, it's an illusion made of some illusionary stuff, has actually affected the physical body. So I'm saying they're connected. They're made of similar or call it the same stuff. Okay? Now we have a choice. We can either say the dream is real, then the connection between the body and the body should be made of the same kind of reality stuff, so to speak, or it's made of some kind of a dream stuff, just like a dream. And the choice is yours. I'm just going to leave it to people to decide whether you want to call the dream as real, then this physical body also becomes real, or if you want to say this, you know, the physical body is not real, then so is the dream unreal. It really doesn't matter. Whichever way you're doing it, you're touching the tip of your nose from one way or the other way, and it's coming back to the same thing. And these are some important points to remember when you're doing your contemplations of this kind of nature, because I'm not really interested in driving an answer to you to say whether this is real or unreal. But the point is, awakening happens through questions, not through answers. Okay? Holding this question in your mind and content and churning it and experiencing the answer is more crucial to you than knowing it as a logical thing. So I would say churn the question in your mind over and over again and let it produce a sense of intrigue in you, and then, you know, let just go flow with it and get deeper into it until you just are going to experience something magical out of it. An insight of your own nature, of your own experience, which is going to tell you that you actually don't dwell as a single person. You actually are present at all places at the same time, right? That's one side of the investigation that I want to share with you. But the other side of it is, just to keep this extension about reality continuing forward, is that there's some good news about these things to these two sets of people I'm talking about. Now, in case you're listening to it because you want to achieve a materialistic goal, or if you want to achieve something that is spiritual. The point is, if something is a dream, it's not real, it can be changed. That's the good news. How do you change it? There are certain things that you need to do. You can't just change a running train going in a certain direction. You need to first slow it down a bit, right? And then once you slow it down, you need to set a new direction to it. Now, a train that is running in a certain direction already, it's doing so because it's got too many memories of the past driving it in a certain way. But you can slow it down by meditation. You can also practice any other practices that you do, such as Ho'oponopono or anything that I've shared in my earlier podcasts in this channel. But the moment you slow it down and you set yourself some clear goals of what you would like to achieve from a materialistic point of view, you have the freedom to do that. For the spiritual people, the important thing to understand is the mind is an illusion. If it is an illusion, then unplugging from it cannot be difficult, nor can it be easy. It's just your understanding has to be right. If you understand that it is an illusion, breaking free from it is pretty easy, because here you're not really, often you hear people saying tame the monkey mind, or, you know, control it. Any effort to control the mind is going to make it a mad monkey. Don't waste your time controlling the mind. What you need to do is be aware of it. And when you're aware, just remember you're the witness, and that's unplugging. When you unplug from it and you also recognize in your heart that it's all not real, the kind of control or influence that it had on you in terms of emotions, feelings, and your reactions to things is going to go, and you start to get control. So the control comes from right understanding. It's not necessarily from fighting the mind. So this is the one musing into or contemplation into reality that I wanted to share. The other one is something which is just going to take you back to school days. If you remember, when you go back to your physics classes, you would remember that, you know, if you look at a tree in a distance and kept a screen and put in a convex lens in between, you could get a focus of the tree, an image of the tree on the paper. This is pretty much ideal to what you're experiencing in your day-to-day life also, right? You see an image of something. You don't actually see the thing itself. You see the image, right? What you see is an image formed on your retina, which is transmitted to your brain, and in the brain, a lot of other interpretations get added onto the whole picture. But point I would like you to note is that you're playing with images. You're not playing with reality in any sense. You're just playing whatever we call as reality is you're playing with images, right? Now, the important thing here is to get into this whole thing that, you know, the image that you see on a convex lens is formed because of a tree, because you're focusing on a tree, right? And if you didn't have a tree, then there would be nothing for you to focus on, and there would be no image for you to see. Now, your thoughts actually produce something before you even know it, and it actually creates an image of something out there, and you see that image back in your eye, and then you project it, goes into your brain, your memories are activated, and then you respond to it. And all this happens so fast that you actually think that it's because you saw something out there that you reacted and you responded to it, and the creation is actually out there. But the truth is, it's not there. There's actually nothing outside. Whatever is outside is actually a projection of your own memories. And you see your own memories and you react to them and you respond to them, and thereby you create your own karma each time. Now, the important thing, like I said, is there's two takeaways to people in this path. Now, if you are again looking at reality and you want to change goals, achieve goals, it's an important thing to understand that imagery plays a very vital role in defining your and achieving your goals. And anybody who's worked, especially in the creative field, would know this, because, you know, unless you're able to generate an image of what you are trying to communicate or achieve as a job in a creative post or a creative design or something, it is very difficult to actually get to your goal until you're able to do it. It takes a lot of time sometimes to get there, because that's the way our minds work to achieve in terms of success. You must be able to visualize, and visualize just really means that you need to make it look so real within you that then it happens outside. That's one way of looking at it for those who are into getting a materialistic success. For those on the spiritual path, the point again goes back to the same thing about the dream and the real, or the dream versus reality. The image is an image. It is an imagination. It's not real. Therefore, image, imagination, they're connected. To overcome an imagination should not be one that requires sweat. It just requires smart work and unplugging, right? And knowing how to unplug from it, which we have shared in the earlier podcast channel. So please do look into it. And I hope these two examples can keep you, you know, get you into a little bit of thinking about this whole thing, about what we call as an experience, and drive this into yourself so that you could intuit for yourself who you might be beyond this name and form that you have been told you are, right? So I hope these two simple things help you, and do get in touch with me if you need any inputs or more help or more examples on these. And I'd come up with a few more podcasts probably during the week. So thank you.